Healthy alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. What Healthy Alternatives is about is most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health and well-being. We want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life even more. That's what I attempt to bring you in each of the Healthy Alternative shows. A little bit later, I'll be introducing my guest today, who's Dr. Claire Stagg. Claire is a dentist from Trinidad, and she has a doctorate in dental surgery from University of Bordeaux in France. She's accumulated over 2,500 hours in additional training in TMJ, sleep disorders, dental rehabilitation. She just recently got a Master's of Science from Tufts University in School of Dental Medicine, which focused on craniofacial pain. And her interest is looking at something called biological and holistic dentistry, and we're going to be talking about that and how that affects your entire life, your entire body, and what a difference it can make for you. We'll be back with Dr. Stagg in just a few minutes. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. And this week, what I want to talk to you about is vitamin D. Now, the plus side on vitamin D is that it's actually not a vitamin, it's really a steroidal hormone, and it actually influences 3,000 different genes in your body. An example of one of them is how it helps to fight infections and chronic inflammation. It affects a gene that helps produce over 200 antimicrobial peptides, and one of them is called cathelicidin, and it's a natural occurring broad spectrum antibiotic, and it's effective against colds and influenza, and vitamin D helps to get that regulated in your body and get it produced. So that's the good side. The bad side, and the why this is an issue area, is there's vitamin D2, which is the form that doctors prescribe, and then there's vitamin D3, which is, you can go into a health food store and get vitamin D3. Problem is D2, a meta-analysis was recently done by the Cochrane database, and it found mortality rates for people who supplemented with vitamin D2 had a 2% relative risk increase, whereas people who took vitamin D3 had a 6% relative risk reduction. And this was an analysis of 50 randomized controlled studies which had over 94,000 people. See, medical doctors have thought vitamin D2, which is synthetic, and vitamin D3, which is natural, that there was no real difference between them. And that was based on studies done decades ago that looked at using vitamin D to get rid of rickets, prevent rickets in infants. But when you're starting to talk about optimum levels of D and moving to optimum levels of health, the D2 is the wrong thing to take. Turns out D3 has 87% more potency in raising and maintaining vitamin D levels, and it also produces a 2 to 3-fold greater storage of D3 than does the D2. Vitamin D3 even converts 500% faster than vitamin D2. D2 also has a shorter shelf life. It binds poorly with proteins, and it, in effect, it doesn't do the job that it really should be doing, and it can actually lead to an increase in risk and death. So what we're looking at is telling your doc that if they're going to write a prescription for vitamin D, to make sure it is vitamin D3. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com, teplitz.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I do a monthly e-newsletter that's called The Teplitz Report. If you'd like to look at subscribing to that, go to teplitz.com. You'll see the About Home button. You'll get a drop-down menu, and you can subscribe there. Also, at the top of the Healthy Alternatives page, you'll see a button that says Jerry Recommends. These are people and products and services that I recommend you might want to consider because they can really assist you in your life. Every week, I also like to talk about a healthy breakthrough. It's new discoveries, the latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and your loved ones. This one is going to be delicious! It's chocolate, and consuming more chocolate. This was a study published in the British Medical Journal. It was done by Cambridge University. And what they did in this study, they looked at 7 studies with more than 100,000 participants. They looked at the levels of chocolate consumed, and what they found was a substantial reduction in the risk of cardiometabolic disorders. What are we talking about? Well, they found the highest levels of chocolate consumption were associated with a 37% reduction in cardiovascular disease and a 29% reduction in strokes compared to those folks who had the lowest level. Now, hopefully, they'll be reformulating sugar a bit and lowering the fat content and the sugar content a bit, but having dark chocolate right now is something that really can assist you, because what it seems to do, the scientists are thinking, is that it releases more bioavailable nitric oxide into the blood, which helps for circulation, and they think it might help endothelial function, reduce platelet functions, and have other benefits on blood pressure, insulin resistant, and what they call blood lipids. So it's a whole range of things that they're looking at chocolate, and it's called Yum Yum Yum, Let Me Take Another Bite, because it's really good for your health. Before I bring on my guest, Dr. Claire Stagg, I'd like to pause for this message.
Every one of us is under stress from work, family, the economy, layoffs, the inability to retire. These are the realities today. Even if you're doing okay, we all have friends and relatives experiencing hard times. Hey, just watching the news can make you nervous. Make no mistake, there's nothing benign about stress. It can lead to high blood pressure, digestive problems, difficulty concentrating, and increased risk of disease. That's why Dr. Jerry Teplitz wrote the book Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. He presents easy, effective techniques to reduce stress, eliminate pain, relieve insomnia, and gain an overall sense of well-being. Managing Your Stress is fully illustrated and provides hands-on, proven methods you can use immediately. Dr. Teplitz knows how to cut to the chase. He begins working with you from the very first page of Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. Click on the cover that you see on the WebTalkRadio.net page in front of you and buy it now. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it will change your life.
My guest today is Dr. Claire Stagg. Dr. Stagg was born in Trinidad, and she wound up receiving a doctorate in dental surgery from the University of Bordeaux in France in 1982. She's accumulated over 2,500 hours in additional training focusing in on TMJ, sleep disorders, dental rehabilitation,
And she just completed a master's last year, a master's in science from Tufts University School of Dental Medicine, with a focus in the area of craniofacial pain. And she has a strong professional interest in biological, holistic, and cosmetic dentistry and nutrition. And Claire, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Jerry.
So I want to begin by talking a bit about what do you define as the notion of holistic dentistry, biological dentistry? What does that mean?
Well, I think, first of all, you would have to define what basic dentistry is for everybody in general. They would think going to the dentist, getting their teeth cleaned, getting their fillings replaced, or getting crowns or dentures, etc. That's the basic concept of what everybody in general would know dentistry to be. Where I think we take it a step further, biological or holistic dentist, is you have an emphasis on the chemistry or the products, basically, of what we use. And the holistic part would be where we consider how the mouth affects the rest of the body.
So you're really looking at the whole body, not just the mouth.
Correct. It's all connected. Everything that happens from the beginning, where you put something in your mouth and how you use your teeth or your mouth, all the way down to your toes is connected, yes.
Now, is your master's degree is in craniofacial pain. How does that play into this notion of the biological and the whole body? And what is craniofacial dentistry?
Well, I'd like you to envision a triangle. Think of the body as, or person as, a triangle, and the base of the triangle with a point facing up, okay? The base of the triangle would be the structural aspect of you. On one side of the triangle, you'll have a chemical aspect, and on the other side, you'll have the emotional aspect. At all times, your body is going to seek balance between all three. Now, some people who are chemically sick, who have multiple chemical sensitivities, then biological dentistry would have probably more of an impact for them, to where you're going to want to make sure that the chemistry or the chemicals or the products that are being used for their fillings, etc., are going to be compatible with them. Somebody who, for example, on an emotional aspect is not sleeping well, somebody who has a psychological incapable of handling their day, probably would be because they're not getting enough oxygen during the night. That would be more than of the, what I would treat then would be sleep disordered breathing, all right? But where craniofacial pain comes in, and think of it as a structural part, is that your body is going to seek balance all times between your eyes, your ears, and your bite. And when that is not present, your body is going to compensate. And that's where craniofacial dentists, if you will, craniofacial pain results from the imbalances that occur because your bite's not level.
And Claire, are you saying then that the pain might show up in other places besides, like the mouth?
Correct. So if you have, for example, a person who has For patients who have who've flown before or who fly as pilots, you're pretty familiar with the term pitch, roll, and yaw. And basically what they are, three-dimensional transposition, if you will, of how we are tilted or level. And when you look at a person, you could look at them from their bite, if you will. Let's say you're in front of me right now, Jerry. I'll look at you, and maybe your mouth might be tilted. Well, then your bite will have a tilt or a roll, if you will. And that will affect the way your neck is, which attached to your spine will affect your lower back, which obviously attached to your hips, to your knees, to your feet. You can have foot problems, too. So, yes, it's all connected.
So do you get resistance from regular medical docs, since you're talking about going way beyond just the physical mouth to look at things? Or do you get into their concern that you're looking in their area of what they deal with?
Well, that's a double-edged sworded question, if you will. You would have to have somebody who's not open-minded at all. Obviously, I'm not practicing medicine, and I don't pertain to or want to However, I do help patients by changing the way that their bite is. So if their bite's not level, then it's obviously in my field to go ahead and to correct that. What I do is I do ask for the physician to help to then continue doing what they will need to do. For example, a chiropractor, after I've leveled the bite or I've gotten a patient into a temporary appliance or an orthotic that would level them out, then actually their work will hold or last better or be more productive. So I don't think the word would be resistance. I think a lot of times those who are not in tune with the body will wonder, oh, I never thought of that. How come, actually, the sentence I get the most of is, why don't all dentists do that? Or how come nobody ever told me about this?
Yeah, so how come all dentists don't do this, Claire?
Right. Well, that's where I guess the extra 2,500 hours minimum, I mean, there's been a lot more since, have accumulated, because once you start, you realize how much you don't know. And it's the patients, actually, that are great teachers. And that's the whole thing, is one patient will teach you something and then you'll start thinking. And that's what I love about this part of what I do now, is that I'm always thinking. It's just not filling teeth anymore. We're actually helping patients. We're actually saving lives.
So how long has this form of dentistry been around, cranial facial?
Well, my mentors, who I've taken a lot of courses with, have been doing this for over 30 or 40 years, and they've been taught by others. So I would say, realistically, in the 1900s, if you think about, okay, let's go back. In the late 1800s, Weston Price wrote a book on his journeys. He left his dental practice in New York because all of a sudden he realized that there were so many children who were having major orthopedic, just not orthodontic problems with crowding, but major orthopedic problems, and realized, wait, something's changed. What is it? He went to several countries and visited indigenous peoples that had not been yet affected by modern civilization, and found that they had perfect dentition, if you will, and realized that it was man's progress with refined foods and sugars that created the allergies, the nasal blockages, the mouth breathing, the decay, etc., etc. So if you want to think about it, it has been discussed as early as the 1900s.
Great. So it's really been around quite a while, but most people are still not aware of it, is what I guess you're saying, is that most dentists are not aware of it and they're not practicing in this vein. Now, how would a person know if they have a problem, since it can manifest in other parts of the body that can be corrected by this form of dentistry?
Well, actually, to get back to what you just said, it's just that the dentists are not trained that way. It's not common. It's not something that you would have in school, in dental school. TMJ disorders are very misunderstood. So a lot of patients get told, well, it's all in your head. But of course it's all in your head. That's where everything is. It's not an emotional or psychological problem. It's a structural, usually. It's usually a structural problem. So how would they find the help? I think the biggest thing is they do their research. Mostly the sad part is that they eventually find us, but it's the sad part is that they've had a lot of work, a lot of journeys, a lot of problems along the way.
Is there a website for dentists who practice this form of dentistry where they're listed?
Sure. There's several. There are quite a few. Biologically, you'll have obviously the Biological Dental Society. You'll have the Holistic Dental Society. Another one that I actually, all of these are listed on my web page also, smileprofessionals.com. But you will have one that will deal with the chemistry, if you will, and that would be the IAOMT, the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Technology. And that is wonderful to help you find a dentist who will help you with your mercury problems, so to speak. One of the organizations that I got my fellowship from was the American Academy of Craniofacial Pain, and that's AACP.org. Obviously, if you go to Tufts University, they have a head, neck, and facial pain center, so that's great. And there you go.
So that gives people some real resources that they can look at to check further. So, and we'll talk more about this in just a little bit, because at this moment I have to remind you, you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net, and we'll get back with my guest, Dr. Claire Stagg, in just a moment.
Improve your golf game today. It's absolutely possible using the DVD Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf, from stress management coach Dr. Jerry Teplitz. Par and Beyond is a revolutionary new concept that yields immediate results. You'll experience the difference the very next time you play. Even the golf pros love this method. Randy Taylor hadn't placed in a tournament for 8 years, but just 1 week after taking this seminar, he came in second. It's not just in your swing, it's in your head. That's why TNI Golf Magazine calls Dr. Teplitz a headmaster. Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf, is available on DVD. You can get it by clicking on the Par and Beyond cover on the webtalkradio.net screen in front of you. You'll learn new, powerful techniques that will instantly improve your game, whether you're a pro or a duffer. This is your new secret to success on the course. It's a totally different approach, and it comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. And don't tell your golf buddies. You're about to become a winner.
So my guest today is Dr. Claire Stagg. And Claire was born in Trinidad. She received a doctorate in dental surgery degree from the University of Bordeaux in France in 1982. She's accumulated over 2,500 hours of additional training in TMJ, sleep disorder, dental rehabilitation, and she just completed last year a Master's of Science from Tufts University School of Medicine with a focus in the area of craniofacial pain. And Claire was just listing a number of organizations that people can go to if they do have a problem. So would you say you ought to start looking the dental way if you're going to your doc and you got a pain somewhere and it's just not getting alleviated with what they're doing? Would that be kind of a good trigger for them to say, maybe I ought to look at some of these other organizations and find somebody to go to?
Right. One of the things, Jerry, is that one thing I really want to get across is that it's all connected. Don't think that you automatically have to take a pill for pain. There's usually a reason. And if you find the root cause or the reason, then you usually can eliminate many, 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 many symptoms, if not the problem itself. What really bothers me is that when patients come in, and many a time I have, think of it as like a conductor for an orchestra. You've got the strings, you've got the drums, you've got the piano, you've got everything. Well, I like to think of myself sometimes as the conductor, to where I have to go ahead and monitor what the cardiologist is doing, what the sleep doctor is doing, what the pulmonologist is doing, what the endocrinologist is doing. Because a lot of times, for example, this patient may come in and they have obstructive sleep apnea. So in effect, they're not getting any oxygen at night, but they have high blood pressure. They're probably borderline diabetic, if not diabetic. They have hypothyroidism and cardiovascular disorders, and or possibly a past stroke. And yet, none of it's possible that the physicians, the right hand, didn't know what the left hand was doing. And so then they're seeing another doctor to combat the different side effects of medications that the other doctors have put them on. Now, that's the worst case scenario. And I'm not saying it happens often, but it does happen. And so where I come in, it's like patient sits in the chair and then I listen. And usually 99.9 times out of 100, the patient's going to let you know exactly what's wrong with them. If you listen, you take the time to listen. And it's very rare nowadays with all the PPOs and HMOs, bless their hearts, the poor physicians are trying to keep up time-wise, that they could actually sit and listen to a patient or actually even have time to lay their hands on them.
So I hear you saying, Claire, is that you're really a team of one that looks at what everybody else is doing to figure out the real direction somebody needs to go.
Well, in a way, but then again, I'm the one maybe that takes the blinders off and then brings everybody on board or get on board with everybody else. I can't do this on my own. I'm just the one that maybe takes the time to figure out the puzzle. Each person is an individual. That's a puzzle. Why are you not well? There's certain things that I can help you with. If they're obviously dentally related, then I can. If they're dentally related that are causing structural problems, then I can do my part, and then I will involve the rest of the team to take over. So I don't want to get the message across that I'm fixing everything, no, or that I can find everything, no. I can't, but I can be a proactive part of the team that's going to be taking care of these patients, yes.
Now, Claire, what's the difference between the type of dentistry we're talking about now and orthodontics?
Well, orthodontics would be what I would call a phase two part of my treatment. Basically, patient calls and says, okay, let's just say, for example, Jerry, you called and you wanted to have an appointment with us. Well, first of all, we'd ask you, are you coming as a general patient or do you have any other problems? So I wear five or six different hats in the practice. I'd wear my TMJ hat. I can wear my orthodontic hat. I could wear my craniofacial pain hat, my physical therapy modalities hat, physical medicine hat. It all depends on what the patients are calling for. If they come in as a general patient, then obviously as a dental patient, we can go ahead and treat them. I also have children that come in that have malpositioned teeth, and then we could go ahead and do proactive therapy, and that would be more orthopedic work. Orthopedic work is when we actually help the bone grow into the right position. Orthodontics is when we actually go ahead and move teeth. I find that I end up having to do that after I have done my TMJ therapy. So let's say I have gotten the patient out of pain, a patient who has a dislocated, a displaced disc, and I reduce the disc, I get the disc back to position to where I have the patient stable and out of pain. And out of pain would be also no headaches, no muscle tension, no clicking, no popping, all the things that, quote, unquote, they were told, it's in your head, we can't help you. Then that's when I would consider if the patient's wanting to, we can do orthodontics to go ahead and to stabilize long term.
So what's the procedure that happens in at least doing a diagnosis even that they've got an orthodontics problem?
Well, it's just like the GP, except we do it a little differently. You know, we take records, we do a set of tracing, we figure out skeletally and dentally where their structures are and what they need to have done. And orthodontists don't always look at the joints, unfortunately. Some do, some don't. Again, depends on their training and the level that they take. Usually orthodontics means, from the Greek, ortho, straightening, dont, teeth. So they're going to go ahead and make sure that you have straight teeth. Where I think a good orthodontist would be, and a lot more of them are doing this these days, they're doing orthodontics and orthopedics. Obviously, we're getting the bone to grow to the position to where the teeth can just fall into place. And that's where the orthocranial pain comes in, is that we want to make sure that we get the patients to where the genome, to where they could actually grow into themselves, to where they're actually supposed to be. I try, if possible, to avoid extractions. In North America, unfortunately, they still take teeth out. And there are times when we still need to, but I try to avoid extractions when we can, because usually if you have teeth extracted, then you're going to end up extracting and retracting, which means that the airway will later be impinged upon. So it's tricky. You want to be a very savvy consumer, a very savvy patient. You want to ask a lot of questions, and you want to have a doctor who's going to take the time to know what you're asking. And if you don't, maybe then you should find one who does.
And let's say you have somebody has the kinds of issues you're talking about. What would your treatment look like for them? What would you be doing to move teeth around?
Well, I think that would be a little too complex to go ahead and answer in just 1 or 2 minutes. You have a patient who has a TMJ disorder, the first important thing would be to get them out to where they're, first of all, out of pain and then stable. That would be what I would call my phase one. Orthopedics would be a phase two part of treatment, and it's a higher level than what, quote unquote, the average patient is used to when they have, quote unquote, braces. It's braces with appliances that actually help them change their whole mouth structurally. That would be what we would call a phase two part of treatment, which is one option of phase two, which would be a finishing phase to their treatment.
And what can people expect to happen when they've been through this process with you? What's going to change for them in their life?
Well, I'd like to think that they're out of pain.
A good start.
Yeah, that would be the best thing. She's a friend now. I call her my poster child, Maddie. Maddie came to me because she had to retire because she was so chemically sensitive. She was a lab technician, a histological lab technician, and she couldn't do anything. Her private life was in shatter. She couldn't go anywhere. She couldn't sit long for any periods of time. And it was not fun. And Maddie's triangle, if you will, was all out of whack. She had this displacement. She thought she wanted to start, and this is where the average patient would come in. I have chemical sensitivities. I'm reacting to the mercury in my mouth. You know, can you please remove my mercury? And I'll tell them, first thing, the American Dental Association says mercury is fine in your mouth. I cannot cure you or change anything. However, when we do remove it, we will be following certain protocols and guidelines to make sure that you're not affected and we're not affected either. And that's on the IAOMT website. So when you go ahead and have a patient comes in with that, okay, they get a little bit better. Patients who are mercury toxic will usually get a little worse, and then they get better. Patients who are silver toxic will get a lot better, a lot faster, a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Then afterwards, it's like, okay, we did that part. That was what I would call my cleanup phase. You know, what do you want to do next? You have a lot of teeth that had huge fillings. They need crowns. Do you want to do your crowns at this position of your bite? Do you want to perpetuate your bite that's wrong, or do you want to fix your bite? And then depending on how bad their bite is, that's when we either go in to fix the hinge, which will be the temporomandibular joint or the TMJ, or we could go ahead and restore them to the bite that they have.
So you really have a whole range of options of how
to proceed
with somebody
depending
on what they've got going on with them.
Oh, yeah.
So
everybody's different. Everybody's different, Jerry, and anybody can start or finish at any stage. So you ask me, well, how long or how much? It all depends on how at what level they become quote unquote asymptomatic, because they'll have what we call an adaptive range, and within that adaptive range, where their body can compensate, they're going to be symptom free. And usually, by the time they come to me, it's like they've passed that adaptive range, and everything is now hurting. So once you get back to a realm of comfort, then that may be just enough, and they'll stop wherever they're at, whatever level they're at, as long as they're out of pain. And that's fine. Whatever it takes to get them functioning properly again, to where, for example, to get back to Maddie now takes trips. She goes on trips with her husband, and she can sit in the car for these long trips, where she couldn't do that before.
So for those who'd like to pursue all of this further, you can go to Dr. Claire Stagg's website at smileprofessionals.com. That's smileprofessionals.com. And she does have listed on the website, since she's located in Indian Harbor Beach, Florida, you can go on and take a look to see if you can find from some of those other websites. She's got them listed on her site where you can go to see if you can look. Find a dentist near you if Indian Harbor Beach, Florida is not in your locale. Dr. Claire, thanks for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you, Jerry, for having me. It was my pleasure.
Next week, my guest is going to be Bob Gold. Bob has written the book, Are Your Meds Making You Sick? It's a pharmacist's guide to avoiding dangerous drug interactions, reactions, and side effects. Bob has a BA in pharmacy, a master's from Ball State University. He's a registered pharmacist, and he's been a pharmacist in practice for over 30 years. We're going to be looking at the whole notion of drug interactions, the hidden epidemic that's out there that's killing 100,000 people a year from just taking drugs that their doctor has prescribed. We're going to be talking about what you can do, the awareness that you have, and how you can start to protect yourself from becoming a statistic. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.